All right, it's good to be here. I do thank everybody for your prayers as I go through the healing process for the pain stimulator. I probably have 65 to 70% relief in my back and probably 60 to 65% in my leg. I do have to have some stuff readjusted because the swelling in that's going down. So I got to meet up with the lady and she's got to readjust the whole system. As far as where the surgery is, it definitely is getting better. Still very painful. Wears me out very quickly. As you can see, I'm up here. I'm tired. I'm fighting to stay awake. But I know the Lord would have me up here and I'm fine with it. The Lord would get me through it. For years, when I would get up and be about my Father's business, preaching or whatever, that my back would completely, I would feel no pain while I was up preaching or whatever. So I believe He'll step in and do that for me here today. And so I thank you for that. As far as Rochester, Monroe County, Friday was my first time in that jail, and it was something special, I can say that. About 1,500 inmates in that jail, and I walked in there expecting to be, my hand being held by every correction officer there was. There wasn't. They gave me a pass and gave me free reign of the jail. Okay? All I had to do was stand there at the door. They'd buzz it, say, where you want to go, and I went. So it was pretty impressive. At the same time, some anxiety kicked in. Because I'm not used to walking hallways in jails free like that, okay? For so many years, every time I walked the hallway, I had a correction officer with me. It just kind of caught me off guard this time. And I was kind of nervous when I first went there because I wasn't sure what to expect. But we got up to the mainframe. The mainframe is a place where violent criminals are separated. They can't be in with general population. They're not in what they call protective custody in cells by themselves. There's about 20 of them per tier, okay? And they're all in there together. They just can't play well with other boys and girls, so they separate them, and it's called the mainframe. And the mainframe is my type of people, okay? And as soon as I walked in the mainframe, I was nervous. And as soon as I walked in there and was able to have the opportunity to be able to start talking to these men, that went away pretty quickly. I knew that I was right where I needed to be. And so I'm going to dedicate 90% of my time to the mainframe. That's where the sheriff, when I sat down and had a meeting with the sheriff in Monroe County, that's where he wanted me. He said, I don't want you doing what everybody else is doing. I want you to come in and work in the mainframe. And when I got in there and heard the stories of the mainframe from the other guys that work in the ministry, I could tell they did not want to be there. I do. I want to be there as much as I can. Matter of fact, when I go back Wednesday, I'll be spending about 4 hours in the mainframe. And that's just going to be a beginning. Okay? That's just how big it is. And so I was able to get in there, give some testimony and such, hand out. You can bring stuff in the jail. And I was able to bring brochures in of my testimony. And they were gone like hotcakes. I said, I'll have to bring some back when I come back next week and such. And they were sitting there saying, hey, they understood the language that I was talking to them, because there I start getting into that language they understand that I understand. And I started saying things, they're talking about laughing, hey, I see the tattoos, yeah, I can hear, yeah, you've been. And so they understood that I know what it's like to be where they're at. I lived that life for many years, and it opened up big doors. And some guys were looking at me kind of skeptical. By the time I left, they were standing there in front of me listening to me preach and tell them about what Jesus Christ can do for them. And I told them, you don't ever have to be in this place again. I said, the problem is you don't believe. Nobody's taught you how to believe that Bible where you don't have to come back. And they just looked at me stunned. Why? Because they have religious people telling them that all the time. Then religious people can't do a thing for them. Religion is not going to touch an inmate. It's going to take a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you think they know what a relationship is? They have zero clue. The relationships they understand are not what we understand. Their being a productive member of society is not something that we understand here. That's a totally different life. Their thinking is not like our thinking. There's some similarities, but they don't think the same as we think. Got to go in there, and I need you guys, and I need you to beg God to make liberty behind bars more than a religious service. Or nothing's ever going to happen without Jesus Christ. You guys need to beg God that He goes in that Monroe County jail before me. Before I even step foot in that jail, He needs to be in that mainframe. And He needs to prepare hearts of the people. Otherwise, me going in there means zero. I know that. I understand that. I'm not going in there like I'm somebody, because I know I'm not. Without Jesus Christ, I'm a nobody. They need to see Jesus Christ in me. That's their hope. And the Lord showed me, Dale, I want you to go in there. What I want you to preach is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what they need to know. Remember, the power is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. What happened to that? People don't believe it anymore. I believe it. You know why I believe it? Because I got it. I live in forgiveness. And they understood that. And they, you know what they said when I left? We look forward to you coming back. The chapel was full. He couldn't believe these people were saying that to me. He said, a fire has been lit in me since you stepped in this jail, Dale. He goes, I'm on fire and I'm excited that you're here. He said, these people are seeing something in you already. I said, I plan on coming and making a relationship with these people. I'm not going to come in just stand at the door and pray with them and hand them a few things to read. I'm going to spend time with them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to get to know them. I'm going to know their names. I'm going to pray for them. And I'm going to pray for their families. I'm going to pray for whatever they need. And I'm going to go in there and I'm going to teach them the Bible, because I believe with all my heart that Bible right there, those words that come forth out of that Bible is what's going to change their life forever and eternity. I believe that. I don't go in there knowing anything else. I'm not much of a smart person. What I've learned, it's been by the grace of Jesus Christ and Him teaching me with that Bible. That's what I know. It's what I know. And I thank God for it. Anyway, keep praying, because I'm going to go back Wednesday. I'm going to spend 4 hours there in the mainframe. In between, there's a break. And in between that break, I'm going to meet Pastor G. It's hard to pronounce his last name, but his name is Pastor G. He's out in Rochester. He wants to meet up with me, so I'm going to meet up with him. I'm not sure where that relationship's going to go or whatever, but I'm going to meet up with him. We'll probably have some coffee and lunch or whatever. So 9:15 to 11:15, I'll be in the mainframe. I'll be in the east side of that. That's probably just a couple hundred guys. And then from 12:30 to 2:30, I'll be back on the west side of the mainframe for another couple hundred guys. And I won't be able to be in there with them like I'm used to in Allegheny County. I'm actually on what they call a catwalk. And if you ever watch any prison movies, you see the guards that are walking on the outside of the cells. That's set up the same exact way. They're in the cells. They're in what they call a sally port. And I'm going to be in that catwalk. The floor that separates both floors are right here. So when I'm talking to men here and I'm talking to men here. Okay, so I'm talking to both floors at once. I'm going to pull them all the way to the corner. In that back corner, it's not going to disturb those who don't want anything to do with it. Okay, you got to learn how to separate that stuff, because they'll cause trouble if not. So I'm going to move them to the end, and we're going to sit there. And whoever wants to come down there, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to give them a message. We're going to pray. And we're going to give them a message. And I'm going to do that for all four of those mainframes. Number two, we have, I don't know, six or seven men that we're working with already in the Monroe County Jail that I haven't even met yet. They're on what they call the plaza. It's a whole totally different floor. I'm going to have to try to make time to get up to those people as well. I'm going to have a second trip to Rochester. I haven't quite figured that out yet, but I need to give those guys some time as well. They're all on the same floor. They're spreading the stuff amongst each other, and now they're just pouring it in, okay? And so there's going to be a second trip at Rochester at some point to do what they call the plaza towers. That's where just anybody can live. You know, non-troublemakers can go there, and it's called general population, okay? And so they live amongst each other, and there's a lot going on. And at the same time, I'm thankful for it, but the pen pal, some people have been confused about the pen, how to write the pen pal stuff. I want to clear it up as best as I can. Two things I want to do. Number one, I want to share with you real quick some reasons why this program is important. Why it's going to mean something to somebody if you got into this program. I know a lot of people aren't the type that can go out there and they're not going to preach and, you know, be able to go out and talk to people and this and that. Well, you don't have to. You can write a letter or a card, okay? And you can help outreach. So I got this in the mail. Think about who we're talking about here, okay? Let's not judge them for what they sent me. But a bunch of them sent me a card. They hand draw cards beautifully. He knows that. So they hand drew me an Easter card. And it says, Dale and Amy, happy birthday. This is at the Allegheny County Jail. I haven't been in there probably 6 months now. I haven't been in there. But they haven't forgot. They write me continuously. Okay. Matter of fact, I just got done answering 47 questions for a lady at the Allegheny County Jail through a letter. 47 questions. I sat and took the time, about 3 days, to answer them all. You know how important that is? Do I want them going somewhere else that somebody's going to teach them something that they might not, that's wrong? Or no, I don't. Ask me. You know, liberty behind bars is more than me just going in there, guys. I do a lot through the mail. I do a lot of counseling through the mail. I do a lot of Bible questions through the mail. I do devotionals through the mail. We got pen pal through the mail. Why? Because that's where I can get most of my time. I'm limited on what time I can get in there, but not through the mail. Okay? And so that's where I spend a lot of time. Happy Easter. Happy Easter, Dale and Amy. God bless you. Jenna. Happy Easter, Dale. Happy Easter. God bless you and your family. Sonia. Happy Easter, Cassandra. Happy Easter. You and your family are dearly missed here in Deepak. God bless you, Julie Coda. Okay? And those, why? I haven't seen them people in a long time. Most of them I don't know. How are they finding out? Through devotionals. They're reading what God has given. They're hearing the testimony. I send in my testimony every single time. And you say, well, gosh, is that pen pal program important? Let me read you this one letter. I have one letter out of, how many letters, Amy? I mean, a ton of letters I have that I get in. And it says, my dearest Candy. That's a code name. They have code names. You can't use your real name, and I'm going to clear that up. You can't use your real name, so people are coming up with code names and what they call each other, okay? So here, this one here says, my dearest Candy, I'd never in a million years expected to be selected to join a program such as this. She's talking about the pen pal ministry. When you feel alone and are empty while behind these walls, it's nice to know that you can always fall back on your pen pal. Your friend. She says, your pen pal, your friend. What a beautiful program. I believe the Lord is completely in charge of this. Right now, I have a lot going on. There's a puppy program where I live. It's very chaotic at times. One thing, it does make the time fly, but dogs do not talk or console through prayer or through pen pal. This is important to these people. You sending a letter is important to the people. It's important because here's what she says here. She says, I'm a drug addict. I've spent more than half of my life in jails and penitentiaries. I'm facing 5 years in the penitentiary with 3 years post-supervision in New York as we speak. I've never had family behind me for the past 12 years. She said, it's interesting. Talking about her pen pal here. You ready? It's interesting what can happen just knowing that you have one person who believes in you. I have a long way to go, but today, at least, I've made a start. Let me just tell you this, my friends. That pen pal ministry is more than just writing some words on a paper. It's going to help transform some people's lives. It's going to make a difference in their lives, and they need it. They need it because this whole world has turned their back on them. Thank God that Pastor John Ashwood didn't turn his back on me when he found out what I was. He could have very easily, because many others did. As for the pen pal, what you're supposed to write and not write, I made some samples here because I really want you to, I want you to understand how it is. I made copies. I'm going to lay the copies out on the table, but I want to just read. These are just sample letters. They're make-believe. They're not real. But I have highlighted on the top here, not an acceptable letter. Okay? And the reason why these rules got to be adhered to so well is for the protection of you, your family, as well as those who are locked up. It's very important. It's not a laughing matter. It's not, well, I can handle it. Oh, I know better. We're not even going to go there. Number two, the state's prison system or the county jails will shut it down immediately. These rules have to be adhered to. So one of the example letters that's not accepted, and you may laugh because it's funny. We made some names up and made up some different scenarios. It says, Dear Jim Bob, right off the bat, we know that we can't use personal names. If you have read over the rules and regulations, you know that you cannot use a name. They cannot use your name, okay? It says, my name is Luke Morey, and I'm from Belfast, New York. No good, okay? You cannot give your name. You cannot give where you live. You don't even include what state you're from. Because you may be a pen pal to somebody who's not in this state. You may be a pen pal to somebody that's your neighbor. Okay, it's not just, so keeping the states out of there, keeping where you live is very, very important. If the jail reads the letter and sees you sharing through a pen pal ministry, your information, they will shut it down. You won't be able to write anymore. I'm just telling you how they work it. It says, and I'm excited to be your pen pal. My wife, Julie, and I have two children, Autumn, who is 14, and Jaylen, who is 9. Seems pretty innocent, right? It's not. You cannot say anything like that. You cannot include names, ages, and all that kind of stuff. It's fine for you to say, yes, I'm married and I have 3 children. Boom, that's all they need to know. They don't need to know anything else. We have predators that are in prison. We have people who are looking for weaknesses, and they will look at you as a weakness. They think about this stuff all day long. How do you know that? Because I was one. I know what they think about. Am I right, Jeremiah? We know what they think about. And I'm just telling you, this here will protect you, okay? Now we move on right here, and it says, they attend Belfast Central School. We try to live our Christian life as best as we can at the Black Creek Baptist Church. Can't put your church in there. When they get out, and if you have communication or somehow you end up running into them or something like that, that's a totally different story. But you cannot, because I'm telling you, these letters are going to not just stay in New York. We have a lot of people we work with in North Carolina, South Carolina, Pennsylvania. We have a lot of letters going out to Alabama, Tennessee. So you may pick up somebody from down that way. Okay? So it's important. Don't give your state away. Are you a saved Christian? And, you know, I work as a home health care aide, but here's one of my important things that I want to get. Please feel free to write me anytime or call us, collect at 585-55. No addresses, no phone numbers. Do not ever put an address and phone number in there. It's got to come through Liberty Behind Bars, okay? It comes through Liberty Behind Bars, and we'll make sure that it's done right. I'm not trying to be nosy and see what you read. I could care less about what you write down there. All I care about is the safety for you and your family and the safety of the inmates. I don't care about what you're telling them. Okay? I'm not ever going to come and say, well, you know, maybe you shouldn't put that verse in there. I'm not going to tell you that. I promise you I won't. It's between you and your pen pal. But I'm going to stop anything personal that I see. As time goes on, you'll get used to it. It'll become easier, okay? The acceptable letter. Dear pen pal, I've been praying lately about someone that I can encourage who may be going through dark times. I heard about the pen pal ministry through the Liberty Behind Bars and decided to sign up. I wanted to be an encouragement to somebody. I've been studying in the book of Romans. In chapter 7, Paul talks about the battle that the Christian goes through and so on and so forth. You see where it's going? There's no personal information in there whatsoever, none. It gives some verses, and it's, you know, somebody's out there. It says, you're on my list daily to lift you up. May God bless you and encourage you during this time in Christ, your pen pal. Okay? Or you can make up code names. People make up code names. Matter of fact, quite a few people make up code names. Okay? But as long as you take this, you can see here, I got it written. It can't get any plainer. I've given you 2 examples of how it should be done. Don't write my words. I'm just telling you, there's no personal information in here. That's the difference between the two. Here it tells you what you can and can't. If you say, well, I don't want to write a letter, but I'd like to send a card. Through Ashley's mother, and I'm very thankful for these King James cards because they are perfect to send into prison. There's some beautiful cards from Vietnam over there. They cannot be sent into prison because they're 3D. You cannot send that kind of stuff in there. I'm offering whoever wants them, they'll be on that table, free King James Version cards, encouragement cards, for Liberty Behind Bars only. Please, children and people, don't take them and send them to your people. That's not what they're for. They're for Liberty Behind Bars only. If you want one, you take one, the envelope's here, fill it out, give it back to me, we'll stamp an envelope and get it out. We are keeping track of each person that has a pen pal. So if you sign up for a pen pal program, we have your name next to the person. So we know what's going on. We know who to give what letter to where, okay? And so It's funny how God works. There's a pen pal who Candy is writing. Candy has, her pen pal came up with the name Paris. Candy just happened to have envelopes and cards with pictures of Paris on it that she sent it to her friend, because her friend loves Paris. You tell me that's not a match? Wasn't that awesome?
Yep.
So you never know, being that pen pal, what you're going to do. You don't know what person you're going to help reach. This pen pal program is not just something that make you pass time. It's to help somebody. And please, by all means, do me a favor. If you become a pen pal, pray for that person.
Yes.
They need prayer more than they need our words. They need Jesus Christ. And so if you sign up to be a pen pal, listen, I'm going to leave this stuff on the table. If you have any questions, approach me. I don't know how much more I can explain it in that simple form. And then I printed off a bunch of sheets. If you need one, take it. And if you need help writing, I will take time out of my day and I will help you on a Sunday or a Wednesday or a Thursday. And I will help you write something for the first time if you want me to show you how to do that. I'll do that. I'll have no problem with that. But what I need is, I just had 4 more people added to the pen pal ministry. I don't have enough people. I don't have enough people who are becoming pen pals and trying to get other churches involved. And you know, I hope it wasn't something that's gonna fall through, because there's a lot of people who keep writing and asking if they could be in that program. And I'm just asking you to please pray. Maybe the Lord open your heart and become a pen pal person, because it really is important, and these people are going to need it. And you know what? If I have to myself, which I have, I've picked up a few pen pals myself, because there's people expecting letters, and so I've made some pen pals myself, and Amy's picked up a pen pal and such like that, because there's so many. It's so overwhelming at this time, and so please pray on it. Now we're going to get to some preaching for a minute. Okay, 2 Corinthians. Pastor preached on some stuff last week about why the world's going the way it is and how America's turned so defiled and such. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 11. And I'm not going to quite hit so much on that, but I'm going to hit on some things of why those things are and why Christians think that a lot of Christians are down and discouraged. Because they think, and I've had people this week even come to me and say, why does it seem like the wicked are always getting away with it? They can do whatever they want and we can't. And so I want to hit on that a little bit. If you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. And I want to just hit on a few things here really quick. And it says here in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, it says, But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. That means these little things, okay? He just started doing, he didn't come in and change a whole doctrine. He started changing words one letter at a time until he got to where he wanted, okay? So he's real subtle about it. And just let me tell you, the devil's real subtle about everything he does. He's going to catch us off guard, okay? So it says here, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Okay? There's a simplicity in this thing. And you know what? A lot of people can make it complicated. Well, who's the one making it complicated? Is it God making it complicated? No, it's you. Okay? God said it's a simple thing. You know what? Salvation was the simplest thing that ever happened to me. It was getting to that point that was hard. Why? Because of God? No, because of me. Because I'm a knucklehead. Okay? And so it goes on here, verse 4, and it says, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. Uh-oh. There's a warning right there from Paul. He's coming out of Isaiah chapter 14 when the devil said, I'll be like the Most High God. You see, Satan's not looking, trying to look like some scary beast. He's trying to be called Jesus.
That's right.
Okay? He's trying to be called Jesus. He wants to trick people into calling him Jesus Christ. He wants to get that praise and that worship that Jesus Christ so rightfully deserves here. And it goes on here and it says, whom we have not preached. Or if you receive another spirit. That's right, the devil's got his own spirits out there. And he's putting them out there and he's getting those people. What's he doing? He's beguiling them. How's he doing that? He's changing the word. He's being subtle. He's taking that thing when people were saying it's Christianity and it's not. And then what's he going on to say? Here's the poison. Or another gospel. There's another gospel going on out there. That's right. There's another gospel in those perverted versions. And it's going on out there. And people are over and over and over and over again. I mean, how many times that me and Amy and how many times, Miss Tanya, did we repeat that prayer over and over again and over and over? And you know how many people we had, men just trying to coax us into, you're being okay, you're okay. And inside we knew that we weren't okay. But people were being stamped on their head for 666 and being sent out there as another gospel being preached. And it's not about Jesus Christ. It's about them. You go by one of those phony baloney churches, and everything that they have out there is about their self. I. Let me ask you this. Isn't that what got the devil kicked out of heaven? Sure did. Guess what? Now the devil's going to get Jesus Christ trying to get him kicked out of churches, out of the Bible. With another spirit, he's doing this. Why do you think? I'm not going to get a hold ahead of myself. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. I want to share with you a few things here. I'll get done. And then we got to head out to Buffalo. Amy's stepmother's brother passed away, and her dad wants us to come out there, so we're going to go spend some time with him. You know, I like to honor him like that.
Amen.
Me and my father-in-law didn't always see eye to eye. He didn't like me for a long time, and he probably didn't start liking me until after I got saved. He really believed that me and my wife were never going to make it, and he was right. We almost didn't make it. And since I got saved, I say we got a good relationship, huh, babe? Has me praying all over, praying for all the meals. I mean, there could be all these people when I say, that's my son-in-law, he's a preacher. Hey, Dad, stand up and pray for us. I'm like, oh, God, you know. Okay, Jim, you know, it's pretty funny, but 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. There is a time today that people are not enduring sound doctrine. They are going after the doctrines of devils. They are going after that other Jesus. They're going after that other spirit. They're going after that other gospel. There is a time that they don't want the sound doctrine. You know why? Because that sound doctrine is going to make them think about their stuff. That sound doctrine, that King James Bible is going to bring that stuff up. And people don't like to see what they are. There's times now, even today, that I'll sit there and God will show me about myself. And I'll have to look at that and go, oh goodness, that is disgusting. People don't like that. So what do they like to do? Get some pills. Let's go out there and do some drugs, some drinking. We'll go ahead and just forget about that thing. We'll try to numb our conscience. It's like it's not already seared enough. We'll go out there and numb it. Then we'll have some doctors numb it even more. And it wasn't until that time when those pills got taken away until I came face to face with Jesus Christ that I could see what I really was. I had to endure that sound doctrine. You notice that word endure? That means you're going to have to put up with some stuff. I mean, God's going to show you some things about yourself that you're going to have to put up with. Endure sound doctrine. It's going to be painful. In the long run, it's a wonderful life. It goes on here and says, but after their own lust shall they heed to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. Into stories. That's what the Bible is today. You walk in people's houses. Oh, look, I got the Noah's Ark in my baby's room. It means nothing to them. They don't have a clue what that Noah's Ark means. They don't have a clue when they're sending out cards about Jesus Christ during Christmas and Easter. That's all he's become is a Christmas card. That's all he's become is an Easter decoration. He's become a fable. It's just a thing lightly said. You say, hey, you know, one day you're going to have to stand there and you're gonna have to face judgment. If you don't have Jesus Christ, it's a possibility you might go to hell. You know what that has become? It's become a cliche. People are comfortable hearing that now.
Yeah.
Doesn't bother them a bit. Hey, man, if you die right now, you're going to go to hell without Jesus Christ. Okay, I'll go party. Has no meaning to him whatsoever. That's a scary place that America's in. When the word of God becomes a cliche. And we've let it become that.
That's right.
That's what we've done. Why? We're not enduring a sound doctrine. He says here, but watch, verse 5. Watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Man, we got to endure the sound doctrine. And because we do that, we're going to endure some afflictions. Why? Because God's trying to get rid of your nasty self. You think that's easy to do? After 40 years, he's got to rip and tear all that stuff out of me. That's not easy to do. He's telling me you got to endure some afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of the ministry, of thy ministry. Thy ministry. Let me say this, my friends. If you're a born-again believer here, you have some type of ministry, whether it be your family or whether it be somebody out there passing out tracts. He says go out there unto all nations. In the book of Leviticus, you see that he does what they he says every sacrifice should be what? Salted with salt. And then Jesus Christ tells us to go out there and to be salt. What's salt do? Number one, it gives flavor to something that's bland. That's what he tells our life to be. Our life, people should look at that and go, man, I have a bland life, but he's got something to him. That's that salt they're saying. That's that what Jesus Christ says. You know what else it does? It's a preservative. The word of God, it's a preservative. And we should go out there and when we live that life, we should be able to preach to people and give them the gospel that they might get saved. And guess what that's going to do? It's going to preserve them. But today, the salt's lost its flavor. You know what it's good for? Be trampled under men. That's what we've become. It's where it's at today. Here's 1,500 inmates at the Monroe County Jail. And I kid you not, when I walked in that place, it was full of devils and zero power of God. Zero. Zero. The attacks were unbelievable. The spiritual warfare was unbelievable in that place. And yet you have religious workers in there. And I watched it with my own eyes as they doubt that God can do anything for those people.
Yeah.
There's murderers in here. And when did Jesus Christ lose the power to save a murderer?
That's right.
Yep. When did he lose the power to save a gang member? Yep. You tell me when. When you lost your soul as a Christian. That's when. When you became afraid to give the gospel. When you became afraid for people to look at you and see something different about you. That's when. Wonder why America is the way it is. Let's look at some. Go to Romans chapter 1. One of my favorite. Love the book of Romans. Starting in verse 15. You know, it starts here with us. So may people pray for revival in the church. Let me ask you this. Change your prayer up and ask God to give you revival in your heart. Tell him to start it in you.
Amen.
And when he starts it in you, it may flow out into the church. That's what I pray for. I'm not kidding you. I kid you not. I get on my knees. I say, Lord, the revival's going to start. It's going to start with me, in me, right here. My wife can't get it without me. My kids aren't going to get it without me. They're going to look at me and they're going to see me faltering and falling all over the place and not doing what's right. How's revival ever going to break out in the Maury home if I won't do it? Romans 1, chapter 15, it says this. Romans 1, 15 says, so much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. How many of you are ready to preach? How many are ready to go out? Hey, let me just say this. You don't have to literally go out there and say, well, actions speak louder than words. Are people seeing the gospel in your life? Are they seeing Jesus Christ or are they seeing you? The reality is, let's just ask right now, how many people we have knocking on our door wanting what we have? That's the reality. How many people are seeing the gospel in your life? He says here, so much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are wrong. He goes to number 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know how many saved, born-again people are ashamed of the gospel? They're ashamed to stand up for that thing. They're ashamed when somebody says something. I watch their face get bashful, and I'm like, whoa, man. I wouldn't have expected that from that person, but man, I guess so. He says, for I'm not ashamed. Why are you not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul? For it is the power of God unto salvation. What? That's right. The gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. How come we're not out there giving that no more? Why isn't that jail, why isn't the Allegheny County Jail filled with people coming out saved? All these people, I heard the one man bragging on the one man and thank God for him, but anyway, he reminded me of Jerry Garcia. That's how he goes in there, looking like Jerry Garcia. Been in there for 25 years. What kind of fruit does he have? He has a lot of people that claim salvation, walk out that door and come back, 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 and come back. There's a problem with that.
Yeah.
There's a problem with that. I'm not gonna bash people and everything else, but I'm just telling you, it's the stuff he's carrying in that briefcase. Let me ask you this, is Jesus Christ to make it clear? Can good seed, good fruit come from a corrupt seed? No, it cannot. What's it gonna do, magically just turn good? When you're planting corrupt seed, you're gonna get corrupt fruit. People don't believe that, you tell somebody that. Oh, now, brother. That's what they say to me. You know what? I just got to close my mouth. Got to close my mouth. Why? Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that trusteth. Uh-oh. No, that doesn't say trust. It says believe. You notice there's a TH in that? That means it's something that continues to happen. Something that continues to happen. If you can't have that permanent belief in you, you don't have it. You don't have it. It says here it's the power of God unto them that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That is written, just shall live by faith. You know what people are living by today? Sight. They're living by what man has to say. They're living by what man has to say. They're living, well, you know, my pastor said this in Greek and Hebrew, and so that's why I believe that. You know where to put that Greek and Hebrew? You can rub it on your chest. I'll take a King James Bible. I don't need Greek and Hebrew. Where's God tell me that I need to learn Greek and Hebrew? Show me where it says I need to know that to know it. Could you imagine that? Jeremiah, could you imagine if somebody walked up to us and said, hey man, you're a convict. You know what you need? You got to learn Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic for you to better understand God. I'd still be lost and dying and going to hell today. Anything God wanted me to know is right here in the Bible. Anything, any language that he wanted me to know is right here. He gives me, what does he say? It's right here, right? He gives me interpretation. He says it's right here. This means this and this means that. That's all I need to know. That's the only language I need to know. I don't need all that nonsense. You know what that nonsense did for me? And I'm telling you right now, when I was in Gowanda Correction Facility, and I spent 3.5 years there, and let me tell you, it's a war zone. But anyway, so what I did is I was get myself in my cell, and I would sit there, and I would listen to Greek and Hebrew tapes over and over and over again. I'd read the lexicon over and over again, and I'm trying to learn this stuff and learn this stuff and learn this stuff. And guess what I did? I walked out of prison a lost man dying and going to hell. That's what I did. That's what Greek and Hebrew did to me. And how much better understanding it gave me, Tim? Zero. When I first came to this church, Pastor, you know what my whole intent was to come down here? You asked Amy that Sunday morning, I was going to come down here and prove that man wrong. Oops. I'm just saying, but that was my attitude. Because you know why? Knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge has its place. Believe me, it has its place. But in the wrong place, all it does is puff a person up, and that's what I was. I was very puffy. I could sit there, man, and have the beers in my hand and looking at pornography and abusing my wife and my children. I totally have an empty, voided heart, man. I mean, lost as all could be. And I'll quote a scripture to you. I don't know what version, probably quite a few different ones. I would even try to teach you Greek. Why? Knowledge puffeth up. It made me think I was something I wasn't. Right there, well, matter of fact, at your church, I realized I wasn't.
Amen.
That puffiness got popped, and the air came out of my head, and I realized I was lost. I came running over to my pastor's porch, and I told him for the first time, I know 100% I'm lost in tears on my pastor's porch, telling him, coming back from Reformers Unanimous at, amen, Pastor Haynes Church. My wife was crying with me because she said, I understand that too. She got saved 6 months after me, thank the Lord for it. It was a rough 6 months, huh, babe? Yeah, thank God for it. 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Not just some, all ungodliness. And unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Boy, isn't that what's going on today? Aren't they holding the truth of God in unrighteousness? Aren't they taking some some book. I don't even call them Bibles. I really hate to call them other versions of the Bible. I can't call them a Bible. I call them books, okay, or perversions, okay? That's just what I call them. Because let me tell you this right now. They're holding their truth and unrighteousness. And more I study, and more I see, and more I realize, oh my goodness. There are people now, those who started the New American Standard Version, Dr. Kevin, I can't ever say his name, it's Log something is his last name. He just now came out and said this. He says, I'm in trouble with God. I am in trouble with the Lord. He said, because of what I've done with the New American Standard Bible, and he's been an editor in other versions of the Bible. He said, because of what I've done, because of the deletions, because of the changing of the words from the King James into these Bibles, I am in trouble with God. And he says, we are fool, we are naive to think that there was no satanic presence in what we are doing there. He's renouncing it today. How about that? He's recognizing, oh my goodness. Why? They're holding an unrighteousness. It's about money. We were just at Walmart the other day. I seen they had a bunch of King James Bibles out there. I was like, oh man, that's cool. Let me look at this. And when I opened the very front cover, the very first thing I see is how everything's copyrighted. Did I show you that, Amy? Because it's large print, that's copyrighted. Because of the index, that was copyrighted. Because of the maps, that was copyrighted. I'm like, holy moly. It's about money all of a sudden. I'll give you a Bible for free. I'll buy it for you. Matter of fact, I do give out free Bibles. I don't mind. But you see, they're holding unrighteousness. And we wonder why these things are going on. Why the homosexuality, why the lesbianism, why are we trying to push for legalizations of drugs? Is it okay to kill a baby with a heartbeat still going? Why is it okay? Why is it okay in America? It's because men have lost that saltiness. They've lost the holding the truth. They're putting it in unrighteousness. They're walking away from God. It doesn't mean nothing to them anymore. I wonder why our jails are so full. Do you know what they're doing at the Monroe County Jail? They're taking. It blew my mind. They have another county jail, and it's big. I forgot how many. I think 1,000 inmates it holds. The women's population has gotten so big, they're taking all the men out of that county jail, putting them downtown, and filling that up with women. You tell me that's not mind-blowing. And I go in there and I tell them, hey, how about Jesus? Well, yeah, I tried that Jesus stuff before. Somebody ran him through the prayer. Somebody perverted him. And I'm not saying that prayer won't work. And Pastor Ayn, I agree what he says. There are people out there that will work for. I'm not saying that. But what I'm telling you, man, is when you just keep stamping that person and you keep sending them out there like they did me and my wife, and nothing, you know, and that person knows inside that there's something wrong. They're holding the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Can you believe that? Can you believe that those, the lights went out, they'll come back.
Yeah.
But creation. They want to denounce creation. He said it earlier, some of the stuff that people believe. It takes more faith to believe in Darwinism than it does creation. That we came from a monkey and all this and that. I mean, come on, man. Hey, I ask him this. So you believe we came from apes and all that? Yeah, that's what we came from. Then why are there still apes? Why did they turn into a human being? Yeah. Why would God just start with us and say, okay, you can be a monkey, you can be an ape, you can be a human? No. They're turning the truth for the invisible things. They're without excuse, God says. It says that it shows his eternal power and Godhead. And they are without excuse. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts are darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Fools. And it says here, and they changed the glory of an incorruptible God into an image, made like a corruptible man, and birds, four-footed beasts, and creepy things. Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. What did? God did. Through what? The lust of their own hearts. You ever go back and read? I want you to go back and read. I want you to read in the Old Testament how God trapped Israel. You know how he trapped them most of the time? With the thoughts of their own hearts. With the lust of their own hearts. God doesn't have to go to outside things to trap you. He can just use your heart. Don't filthiness that's in your heart. He can keep you there. For Israel said he's mightily oppressed Israel for 20 years with chariots and iron and horses. Why? Until they realized that he was God. He says to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Uh-oh. Now we're hitting on grounds. We've got to be careful. People don't like to hear that. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile afflictions. That's what the Bible calls it. Vile. Filthiness. Putridness. And even their women did change their natural use of that which is against nature. I mean, it's common sense, isn't it? Two women can't have a baby. Two men can't have a baby. It takes a third source to do that. You think they would see that? Can two male dogs have a baby? No, you think they would see that? They don't see it. You know why? Because they're so blinded by the lust of their own heart. Right? Sin has got them so blinded of the lust of their own heart. Yeah, we can have a baby. Sure, it takes a third party to help you have a baby. You can't do it naturally. Why? It's against nature, God said. But you know what? Who's out there telling them about it? Jeremiah 1:8 says this, be not afraid of their faces. We have become afraid of their faces. The saved, born again people have become afraid of their faces. That doesn't mean you have to get in there and beat them up and pound them out with words and all that. But you love them and you show them that's not natural. I was able to do that. I was able to actually sit down and talk with a woman and her girlfriend about why God sees that as wrong. And you know what? God gave me the wisdom that day like I've never had before to be able to talk to her. They understood, but they refused to give it up. They literally understood it, but refused to give it up. They're like, we see that. I understand that, but you know what? We're in love. What if I would have went there bashing them? They still get a hold of me now. Matter of fact, they got a hold of me last week. You know what I'm talking about. You go, you still talk to them? That's right, I do. Because we don't know what Jesus Christ can do.
Right.
We don't know when he's going to be ready to save that person. And that phone rings, or if they call, get me a hold of me on Facebook, I say, nope, I'm not talking to him. That's a lesbian. Nope, not talking to him. That's a homosexual. Nope, not talking to him. That's a drug addict. Nope, Jeremiah, I can't talk to you. You're ex-convict. God forbid if I ever get that way. You go ahead and sit me down in a pew, Lord, and shut my mouth forever. The reason why these things are going on is because we, as Christian people, are allowing it to go on. How do I know that? Listen, my friends, and I'm not trying to harp on anybody. I'm asking you to consider a pen pal ministry. I'm asking you to get involved in somebody's life through a writing of a few letters. And that's like pulling teeth. These people need it. I don't need it. You don't need it. They need it. If you have Jesus Christ in here, how dare you be selfish? Why won't you share Jesus Christ? That's my plea, is to please pray and consider about being a pen pal ministry for those who need it. I'm done, Pastor.